And what a great way to start the worship service with the baptism. Y'all remember these names. Beverly was first, and then Matt, then David, and then Adam. If you forget them, then just go find the people with wet hair and say, hey, that was great. They all, if you didn't notice, they all asked for accountability. So they want you to be involved in their lives, and they want you to say hey to them. So when we go down for that fellowship meal afterwards, just find the people with the wet hair and say hey to them and introduce yourself to them. It is my privilege to deliver the message today. And before I start with reading God's word, I want you to imagine something with me. I want you to imagine a man who really wanted to achieve the pinnacle of life. He had very ambitious goals, and he wanted to achieve these goals. So he set for himself certain goals in life, kind of like rungs of a ladder. And each goal he set was what he would think would bring him to ultimate satisfaction in life and achieve great blessings and happiness. So he set his eyes forward, fixed on goals, and every year and every stage in his life, he would set new goals to achieve this pinnacle of life that he wanted. He sacrificed a lot along the way. He sacrificed time, sacrificed money, sacrificed relationships, even his values. He sacrificed all on the altar of ambition. He sacrificed to achieve these goals, which he had set his purpose in life on. But he was convinced that this would bring him happiness in life. He was convinced that this is what he was supposed to do, be goal-oriented and to not lose sight of his goals. So he began climbing that ladder, one goal after another. Along the way, he changed a little bit along the way with each new step, each new rung of that ladder. And finally, at the end of his journey, he got to the top of his ladder. Success, he thought. No more goals to accomplish, no more rungs to climb. I've made it. But then at the top, when he got there, he finally slowed down long enough to take a look around himself. And he started to realize that he was at a place that he didn't expect he would be at. In fact, he was all alone at this place, and there was nothing lovely, nothing beautiful about the place that he had worked so hard to arrive at. And then because he was there and he had no more goals, he had accomplished all he set out to accomplish, he had more time to think and to look around. And as he began to look around, what he saw filled him with instant shock and regret. He had set his ladder on the wrong wall. He looked behind him and he saw another pinnacle reaching high up that he should have put his ladder on. And this place to where he was looking, which was far of reach from him, was filled with beautifulness, was filled with joyful fellowship of many people. Yet he had put all of his life focused on the wrong thing. And we too can make horrible mistakes in life when we lean our ladder up against the wrong wall. Now, today's scripture that we're going to be reading, God offers a plethora of wisdom, immeasurable wisdom that we will read today that will help us avoid making the same mistakes that this man made. But only those who have humble hearts and open minds will receive it. So with that in mind, let's say a quick word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray that you would reason with us today and help us to see your wisdom, help us to see your warning from Scripture. And Lord, I pray that you would give me humility as I preach. And we pray these things all in the name of Jesus and for his glory. Amen. All right. So you can bring up that slideshow now. Slideshow. Do you call it a slideshow, young people, or is it just slides? Okay. All right. You don't say PowerPoint, though, do you? Okay. All right. Here we go. All right. So I'm mad because I came up with this really cool title, and Gina, wherever you are, Gina, she just put "If God wills" in the bulletin. But I really like this title. I like being creative. So she stole my thunder. That's all right. Me and Gina get along all right, so she won't be mad at me. The Peril of Presumptuous Planning Without Pliable Prayer. That is my title for the sermon today, because I like being creative and I like repetition, you know, alliteration. So let me explain a few things in this title before we go any further. So first of all, I got to turn it on, don't I? Yeah, there we go. So first of all, presumptuous. What does that word mean? So that word means overly bold, arrogant, pushy, prideful, you might say. And then pliable, bendable, flexible, adaptable. So take those definitions, hold on to them, because it's going to make sense as we keep studying God's word, and apply them to that title. The Peril of Presumptuous Planning Without Pliable Prayer. This, I believe, is what James is trying to warn us about in this scripture, which is James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. If I could sum it up in one quick and easy to remember phrase, it would be this: arrogance walks away from God. And that's what we're going to be warned about today, and you're going to be catching some wisdom as well on how to not walk away from God, but to walk with and towards God. So go ahead and turn in your Bible with me to James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. We're going to pick up where we left off last week in our sermon series through James. And I'll read it, and y'all read along with me in your copy of God's Word. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet do you not know what tomorrow will bring? What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is a sin. So keep your Bibles open here. Before we go any further, it's important for us to understand what this scripture is not saying. So is this scripture saying that making a plan is wrong? No, of course not. Is it saying that making a profit is wrong? Absolutely not. That's not what it's saying. Is it saying that it's wrong for Christians to have desires and to take steps in order to achieve those desires? No, definitely not. But James here is saying two things that are wrong. First, ignorance. Second, arrogance. Let's take the first one. Ignorance. This is what he is saying is wrong. Ignorance. So James says in here, he says, what is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. What's wrong is when we strictly view our lives from an earthly or a temporal perspective. When we view our lives as, okay, I got about 70 or 90 years on this earth, that's what I'm going to plan for, and that's it. Well, that's foolish. That's wrong. It's dangerous, I would say. This is a warning sign to us. This is a dangerous belief. And to put it plainly, it's foolish. Foolish people do not look ahead. They only live in the moment. Also, what James is telling us here is wrong is arrogance. James makes it clear. Look at James chapter 4, verse 16. He clearly explains it right here. He says, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Arrogance is a sin. Arrogance is evil. Arrogance walks away from God. And what I mean by that is when we let our arrogance guide our lives, we choose to limit our worship of God and to break our fellowship with God. We're walking away from God. We're separating ourselves from God in worship and in fellowship when we're letting arrogance guide our lives. If you remember two weeks ago, Pastor Isaac was talking about selfish ambition. Well, arrogance's evil twin is ambition. They're very similar. He was referencing a book that Isaac and David and I have been studying. It's this book by Michael Horton called Ordinary. I would highly encourage you to read it. It kind of breaks us free from the unnecessary pressures of life that we put on ourselves, especially as Christians. Good for all ages, middle school and up, I would say. But let me show you some quotes from this book that Isaac was mentioning that really goes along with it. So since antiquity, since a long time ago, ambition was associated with pride, destructive power. Ambrose, just look at that. Pride, destructive power. This is what ambition is. I thought ambition was a good thing. Well, at least we were taught to believe that. But back in the day, it was not thought as that. In our present time, the word ambition has been allowed to take a meaning that is a twisted version of its original meaning. Great thinkers from the past, Ambrose called it a hidden plague. Augustine caused it the craving to dominate. This is ambition. And Thomas Aquinas called it sin. Pretty straightforward. But nowadays, it's been allowed to take on a different meaning other than what its original meaning was. Common thought today is that ambition is not an evil to be repented of, but a basic human right. Think about this. When you're reading this, you're like saying, you might be thinking like I was thinking the first time I read this book. I was like, wait, ambition is a good thing. I've seen people who lack ambition and their life is headed nowhere. Ambition is a good thing. Well, hold on. Let's think about this for a little bit. What we're saying when it's a basic human right is this kind of mindset and this philosophy that says, do whatever you want to do, be whatever you want to be, dream big and chase those dreams, and then ask God to bless you along the way. If God doesn't bless you and reward you for your ambitious desires, shame on God instead of shame on selfishness. This is the message that we're hearing today, is follow your heart and ask God to come along behind you. That's twisted, that's backwards, that's arrogant, that's a sin, it's evil. So if people make ambition a basic human right, they're holding God accountable to them. They're putting themselves above God. Ambition is literally putting oneself forward. If you were to define it, it's putting oneself forward, or in other words, putting yourself first. Does that sound like what we learn from Jesus? Does that sound like what we learn and read through all of Scripture? No, it's the exact opposite. Humility is the goal, not ambition. Has anyone here noticed? I mean, think about the world that you live in and that you're surrounded and send you messages every day. Have you noticed how we're constantly being brainwashed to chase after our ambitions? Do you see it in the movie scripts and the plot lines? Do you hear it in the lyrics of the songs? Do you see it in commercial slogans or ads? We're continually being taught to center our lives and our goals and our ambitions upon ourselves and to climb that ladder. Whatever you want to do, whatever you want to be, do that and ask God to bless you along the way. That's backwards. That's out of order. We shouldn't do that. This indoctrination tempts us to hold a grudge against God for not giving us what we want. I think about that person on, Willy Wonka, where that girl says, I want it now, you know? It's like that's what kind of a personality we become towards God when we are arrogant and when we think about our own goals and put those above everything else. This constant evil message from Satan will drag you down and suffocate you in self-centeredness unless you slow down, take a look around, evaluate your influences, and see whose life you're living for, and see whose will you're living for. So, in the section we're reading today, James is warning us about the parable of presumptuous planning without pliable prayer. Our natural tendency is not to wait on God and to not seek His counsel and blessing. We rush through whatever we want to do and then ask God to bless it. This is presumptuous planning. I'm taking the lead. I'm being presumptuous. God, you get behind me. Given that this is the natural starting point for each one of us, and
to be honest, I think we would all nod our heads to that. This is kind of like our natural tendency. We have to fight against it, and we have to realize what's causing us to do that. Well, James, in this section here, he gives us the solution to this natural tendency of presumptuous planning. It's pliable prayer. It's the flexible prayer. It's the prayer that that seeks God's will over our own. Here's a key statement I want you to remember is we must give God veto power over our prayers. We must seek to let Him be the leader and not ourselves. When we do so, when we give Him veto power over our prayers, we cease from being presumptuous, and we start asking for permission. When we're being presumptuous, we assume authority. When we seek permission, we're living under God's authority and we're trusting His sovereignty. In James 4, verse 15, he says this. He says, you ought to say, what's the solution? Here it is. You ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. Key word, if. If. We should include the word if in our prayers. Do you? Do I? I mean, I'm preaching to myself here. Do I? Do I say, Lord, if it be your will, do this? You know, I was in the doctor's office a couple of days ago going for a scan to see if they could find any more spots of melanoma or stuff on my body. And I saw, you know, when they leave you in the room all by yourself and you start reading the flyers. Well, I saw one like, buy one or get two for one chemical peel. You know, I'm like, wait a second. I don't want that. Lord, please help them not to find anything. I don't want them. No if in my prayer. It was just, Lord, me, make everything in my life comfortable. Another example is I was taking my daughter to apply for a job that I thought she wanted, and it seemed like it'd be a good job. So I dropped her off. I'm waiting in the parking lot, and I'm praying, Lord, help her to get this job. This would be so great. Lord, please give her this job. No if in my prayer at all. And then I was convicted later on that evening. She was saying the prayer for the family meal, and she said, Lord, thanks for the opportunity for the job. You know what's best for me. If you want me to have this job, I'll take it. Whoa. Makes my heart feel good to hear my daughter pray that. Also convicting for myself. That's the mindset we need to have, is to include if in our prayers. Lord, I want this. I think this is great, but I'm trusting you. If it be your will that I have this, whatever fill in the blank it is, then great. But no matter what, I'm following you. I'm trusting you. We need to add if in our prayers. And as we say if, we are setting His will as our ultimate satisfaction. As we say if in our prayers, we are setting His will as our ultimate satisfaction. That is the ladder, that is the right ladder that we should be climbing. We're putting our ultimate trust in God, and we're confessing that we can't predict and we can't control the future. Who can? Only God, not us. Our life on earth is just a brief vapor, but God's plan is timeless. We should trust Him. Folks, let me ask you a question. Why do we make our personal wants to be the most important thing? Not just in planning, but in our relationships as well. It's like whatever we want, that's what I'm focused on. That's what I'm focused on. I just want what I want, and that's what I'm focused on. It's because of our arrogance. When we make our personal wants be the most important things, and we get so upset when we don't get what we want, we get upset at others, we get upset at God, it's because we're arrogant. That is evil. That is a sin. Arrogance walks away from God. Look with me in your Bibles to James chapter 4, verse 17. It says this. It says, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is a sin. This is called a sin of omission. Have you heard this before? Nod your head if you have. There's sins of commission, and then there's sins of omission. Sins of commission are when you do the wrong thing, and sins of omission are when you don't do what you're supposed to do. We grow up a whole lot
when we realize that sins are not just doing bad things, but also not doing the right things. Jesus told parables about this. Remember the parable of the Good Samaritan? The priest and the Levite, they didn't necessarily do a bad thing. They just didn't do the right thing, and they were condemned for this. God is telling us through James, through his word today, that there are certain things that we need to do. What is James all about? Faith without works is dead. That's one of the themes of it. Put your faith into action. So if you see the right thing to do, and if you know the right thing to do and don't do it, well, that's a sin. So what you know you should do, get on with it and do it. Take a step in that direction. That's the ladder we should be climbing. We come across times in our life where we know we should do the right thing. And at that time, at that moment, we have a choice to make. We are either going to take a step to where God is leading us and get closer to Him, or out of our arrogance, we're going to step away, go in a different direction. And don't you see how arrogance leads us away from God? Arrogance walks away from God. It's not like you're just being dragged. You're actually doing the one walking, being the one who's taking that step. It's an arrogant step. So God doesn't want that. God wants us to come closer to Him. That's the theme of the Bible. Oh my goodness. The older you get, the more you just realize how much God loves you and how committed He is to you. He wants closeness with us. Every day is filled with opportunities and decisions to make. The Holy Spirit will guide you and convict you, but the choice is still yours. You got to decide one step at a time up the right ladder to trust His will and submit to His ways. There's two words that I want you to, I'll use your laser focus eyes and focus on in James chapter 4. It's verse 13. It's the first two words, and I love this. James chapter 4, verse 13, the first two words. My translation says, come now. This phrase is an invitation. This phrase is an invitation to consider an alternative to your current lifestyle or your choices. This phrase is an invitation to evaluate or participate in some critical thinking. Come now. It's mentioned here in James chapter 4, verse 13. If you turn just a few verses to James chapter 5, verse 1, it's repeated as well. Come now. Think about this. This phrase, come now, is an alternative to, an invitation to consider an alternative to your current state. Come now. You who say, I'm at 4 verse 13, you who say, today and tomorrow we will go to such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make profit. This whole rest of the passage that we're reading, James is laying out an alternative to that. Look at 5 verse 1. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Do you see how it's an invitation to consider an alternative? There's a couple of verses in the Old Testament where this phrase is used as well. Ecclesiastes 2:1, where it says this, I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure, so enjoy yourself. And behold, it too was futility. An invitation to consider an alternative. Come now. My favorite one is Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. And this is beautiful and it is marvelous. I just want you to consider what kind of an invitation this is. Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Let it sink in. God, through the prophet Isaiah, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Let's think about this together. You bring your reason, you bring your wisdom, I'll bring mine. Let's have a talk. Wow. He wants this. He wants an invitation with us. He wants a meeting with us for reason, for sound wisdom. Why? Because He knows what's best for us. That verse continues, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. God wants to bring us out of the bad places that we take ourselves because of our arrogance. God wants to offer salvation. That verse, of course, is talking about the precious blood of Jesus and how His blood washes us of our sin and that He offers salvation to those who put their faith and trust in Him. Through this passage in James, God is inviting every human being to open their mind to sound reason. Don't you love how Christianity is not just a religion of blind faith, but we are called to use our minds and to reason. We are to have reasonable faith. God wants that. He wants us to think. He is offering a stern warning through this James chapter 4 passage to all those who plan their lives from self-centered perspective and then ask God to bless it. Again, I say, this is backwards. This is not how it should be. Yet, so many of us are told this at graduation ceremonies or through watching movies or listening to songs or all those other messages that are around us. Do what you want to do and ask God to bless it. That's presumptuous planning, and it needs to be solved with pliable prayer when we say, when we're chasing after God's will and not our own. Is there anyone here today who dares to think they know better than God? I hope not. And why do we live like that with our prayers and our actions so much? I hope that none of us have arrogance so extreme that we don't need God. Proverbs 22:3 says, "A prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions, but the simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences." So I want you to imagine yourself driving a car. You're cruising 55 miles an hour down a road, and all of a sudden you see this big warning sign, flashing lights going on, says, "Danger, road ends ahead, steep cliff." Are you going to just keep on driving? You're just going to keep that cruise control going? "Well, I'll be fine. That's just an old sign. No, but that doesn't apply to me." No, that's foolish. That's the simpleton. That's being foolish, and we'll just call it that. What does the prudent or the wise person do? "Whoop, I need to put on the brakes. I need to turn around." Is God calling someone in here today to evaluate their life and how you've been living it and maybe make a change? Maybe to reconsider an alternative to the direction and the self-centered goal-seeking life that you've been living. If that's your heart and you feel like you need to make a change, well, God's ready, open arms to welcome you and to guide you in the right way. That's a reason to celebrate. That's not a reason to fully be in mourning. Mourn temporarily, but then celebrate for the option that God gives you a different path. If you want to have change in your life, that's great. But change just doesn't happen just because you want to change. You're going to have to take some steps to change. So let me offer a few steps that we can take as we seek to climb the right ladder and to draw closer to God and seek His will over our life. First step is to get right with God. You have to realize that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you have to confess this and accept that Jesus Christ offers forgiveness for your sins and trust Jesus Christ as Lord of your life and realize that any true or lasting change will only ever happen if you first get right with God. We have to get right with God. Secondly, we need to pray daily not to become arrogant. This is something that, if you're like me, this is a daily prayer that needs to be prayed because your natural condition is a prideful, arrogant person. I am that way. Those who know me best will agree with that. Too many people skip on to the knock step. You know how we're supposed to ask and seek and knock? Well, too many people just go to the knock step of life and they skip steps number one and two, to ask, to seek after God's will. They just go on with their own plans and they start going whichever way they want to. Proverbs 3, 5 through 7 says this, y'all know it, or most of you do, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding." I think James was picking up some of this when he was writing this section. "Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight." Listen to this. "Do not be wise in your own eyes." What's that talking about? Do not be what? Starts with an A-R-R. You got it. "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil." If you see yourself going in the wrong direction, be wise. Put on the brakes. Turn around.
We need to keep His word fresh in our mind. We need to speak it out loud. We need to memorize it. We need to pray His word. It wouldn't do us any harm to pray Proverbs 3, 5 through 11 as we're seeking daily not to become arrogant. We need to do this. And third is to prioritize the relationship. We need to accept that the primary focus should be on the relationship, not on the results. So often, we sadly let the results define our success. We tend to evaluate life based on statistics, on efficiencies, and other qualifiers that keep us from seeing the forest or the trees, the forest for the trees. We miss our main purpose in life. I want you to think about it. Why did God create humans? Is it because He needed money? Was it because He needed something from us? No. God created humans because He wanted the relationship. He wanted to have a relationship with humans. Why did God never leave or abandon humanity? Because He's committed to the relationship. And why did Jesus take the penalty for our sins? To restore the relationships. And have you ever thought about why does God want us to want His help? I'll say that again because it's kind of confusing. Why does God want us to want His help? It's because He wants the relationships. He doesn't want us to do everything on our own. He wants to be involved. And aren't we thankful that He wants to be involved? Loving God, powerful God, wise God, faithful God. He wants to be involved, and He wants us to follow Him. God's primary focus is on the relationships, not the results. In fact, I would say the result is the relationship that God is after. It's not behavior modification. It's not a week-long mission trip. It's not all of your best gifts that you can give before the Lord. It's the relationship. It's you. Take your thumb and point it back at you, and that's what God wants. He wants you. That's what He's after. So we need to prioritize the relationship. This should be our focus too in our planning and in our relationships with others. Our arrogant obsessions with our future only drive a wedge between us and God. I'll say that again. Our arrogant obsessions with our future only drive a wedge between us and God. Presumptuous planning. Our arrogance is destroying the main thing that God wants. God's primary focus is you. He wants you, not something you can do for Him. And fourth, I just noticed they're all number one. I don't know why. Well, maybe I'll get a 95 for this one and not 100. Fourth and finally, we need to choose. We need to decide whose will we're living for. Will it be God's will or our own will? Jesus Christ modeled this for us when He knelt down and began to pray, saying, "Father, if You are willing, remove this cup from Me. Nevertheless, not My will, but Yours be done." Jesus chose God's purpose for His own life rather than His momentary desire. Likewise, we meet opportunities every day where we will either choose to live for God's will or for our own will. And in those moments, we need to get right with God. We need to pray not to be arrogant. We need to prioritize the relationship. We need to choose His will, finally. We need to choose His will over our own. If your plans, if your life plans and your life goals have been self-obsessed and self-centered, I invite you today to get off that ladder. Take a look around. See what's influencing you. Get off that ladder. Come down and start over again at the feet of Jesus and start climbing for Him, with Him, and for His glory. And decide today to do what you know is the right thing to do. I'm going to close in a prayer, praying from Psalm 139, and just going to pray scripture through this and add a little bit on as well. But if there is something in your life that you need to get right with God about, just take this moment right now. Maybe it'll be a little moment of silence in between my prayer phrases. But just pray your own heart to God. How in your life do you need to get right with God and quit living arrogantly for yourself? Let's pray together.
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Oh God, I want you to know everything about me. I can't hide anything from you. Lord, I gladly give you access to every area of my life. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Spirit, please look at all the things I'm worried about. I need your help. I need your guidance. Be my judge. See if there is any offensive way in me. Father, convict me in the areas where I'm wrong, where I've been living for myself and not you. And lead me in the way everlasting. I'll follow you, Jesus. Fix my eyes on you, not these temporary treasures that distract me from my main purpose in life. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ and by his power and for his glory. Amen.